Well, we are continuing with our series on God the Builder. I just wanted to take a moment here to talk about Bob Russell's book again that kind of inspired this series. This book is called When God Builds a Church, and it's a story of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And it came out at a hard time for it to get a lot of publicity because there was another book at the time that kind of overshadowed it. That book was called Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. And unfortunately, a lot of people went in that direction instead of reading this one. But this one has really good content in there. And, you know, he talks about 10 principles that were used for God to build his church. And, of course, we already talked about truth and talked about worship as, you know, looking at the Bible and stuff. And, of course, Bob Russell gives all the credit to God for building his church. You know, he says, when God builds a church, not when man builds a church. You know, he made it very clear from the very beginning. It was not Bob Russell building this church. And he explains it very well in here. I do have a quote I want to share from his book in regards to leadership, which we're going to talk about today. All right, he says, God blessed Southeast Christian Church in a powerful way. We have a remarkable group of leaders who strive to honor God and give him the glory. When I'm asked to analyze why our church has grown so dramatically, I say there is one overriding reason God has blessed our congregation. Excellent leadership. The elders and staff have consistently been an example of what godly leadership is all about. As we continue in this series, we've come to this principle of leadership in God's church. Leadership, by definition, is to be a way or means of bringing something to a particular condition or result. In other words, a leader gets the job done either by doing it himself or motivating somebody else to do it. In most cases, there is a mixture of both when it comes to leadership. This is evident in the Bible as well. Jesus taught the disciples about ministry. Then he showed them how to do it. Then he turned them loose to build his church. The apostles planted the churches. They taught leaders how to lead the church and then turned them loose to continue building God's church. Well, now it's our turn. We need to keep the church moving forward, and that starts with learning about the leadership that God has created for the church. Let's take our Bibles out. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The official text is Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, but I'm actually going to back up and start at verse 1. So it'll be Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. That's page 977 in the Pew Bible if you want to look it up that way. Now in this section, the Apostle Paul talks about the concept of leadership and gifts that are given to the church. Leadership is a gift to the church from God to help the church serve God on a daily basis. God uses truth as a foundation for the church, and worship helps us focus on God while bringing us together so we can build on that foundation of truth. Leadership is the structure that gives us a safe place to live as God's church. In other words, it's kind of like the scaffolding as we're building. Leadership helps us as we build. Healthy leadership can produce a healthy church. A healthy church will produce healthy Christians. And healthy Christians can make a difference in the community for Christ. Let's go ahead and get started here. Ephesians 4, I want to read verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the Apostle Paul and his faithfulness in writing, even while he was in prison. And I pray that we will learn these lessons that are being taught to us today. Be with us through this sermon. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, leadership is God's gift to the church, but to be a good leader, you cannot act like you are God's gift to the church. Leaders should be humble enough to recognize that they cannot be effective without God leading them. The popular saying is that the best leaders are great followers. This is true in the church too. The best leaders are the ones who follow Christ in their lives and in their leadership. The church depends on godly leaders, and godly leaders depend on their faith in God. This is the most important lesson to learn. Healthy leadership begins with God. God is our leader. So we should be doing what he does. We should follow his example. God builds up, therefore leaders should build up. Verse 2 talks about bearing with one another in love. And verse 3 says we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, a good leader will be the glue that holds the church together during those times when the people are falling apart. And to make this happen, they need to be accessible. They need to show up. God shows up when we need him. Leaders show up. God has always been a prayer away. No matter where we are in life, no matter what we have been doing or what mistakes we have made, he has always been there to help if we would just turn back to him. He is available. He is able. God is ready to help. All we have to do is pray for God to help us. Good leaders should be the same way. Whether it is an elder, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, even an older brother or sister in Christ, if somebody depends on you for guidance, you are a leader. And if you want to be a good leader, you should be ready to help when needed. Good leaders show up when they are needed. God is just a prayer away. Good leaders should only be a conversation away. We should be accessible. Leaders build up. Leaders show up. Leaders also hold up. When the church is at its worst, we need leaders at our best. We need to help the church through the hard times by holding it up and keeping the people close to God. Even when people are shaky in their faith, the leaders should be strong enough to be able to hold them up in prayer, to be able to intercede on behalf of them, to be able to reach out to God, to be able to say, look, we may be suffering, we may be hitting hard times, but we still need to stay close to God. Leaders will help maintain that connection. That's why they are so important. And when I talk about leaders, you know, I'm not talking about just the elders. I'm not talking about just a preacher. I'm not talking about just official capacity in a church. I'm talking about anybody who has someone that they need to influence. When you are influencing somebody else, you are a leader. You know, we keep people close to God through prayer, through conversations, through reaching out when people are in need, through keeping an eye out for those who are struggling. A good leader will stay focused on the goal of being the church that God can be proud of. So who are these leaders? Well, like I said, a leader is somebody who has people following them. It really is that simple. You have somebody following you, you are a leader. All you need is one person depending on you for something that makes you the leader. Of course, it doesn't make you a good leader or a bad leader. That's up to you. You have to figure out what kind of leader you're going to be. But somebody's following you, you are a leader. John Maxwell put it this way. He said, leadership is influence. Anybody that you can influence, you are leading. When you are influencing somebody else, you are a leader. But if you don't have anybody following you, you're not really a leader. You're just taking a walk. Good leaders will stay close to the people who are following them so that they can be able to lead them where they need to go. The good leaders also stay close to God, who is their leader. 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's this image of I'm going to follow the Lord. You can follow me as I'm following the Lord. So therefore, you are following him too. We need to make sure that we keep people close to God because he is our leader. The leader of leaders is God. Let's move on here, verses 7 through 14. And let's get into some of the meat of what Paul's writing about. Verse 7. says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, deceitful schemes. So God is our leader, and God is also the one who gave us our leaders. Jesus gave gifts for unity. To help the church maintain unity, Jesus gave gifts according to who we are. Now, as we grow up on the spiritual meat of the Bible, we will learn how to recognize those gifts and use them for the Lord. Of course, this is an area where there could be a lot of confusion, especially when people try to make lists out of the different gifts from the Bible. Along with today's text, we also have Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're popular for trying to find different gifts that we can use for serving the church. You see, the problem is a lot of us, we love making these lists. So we'll take different passages and we'll just create this long, exhaustive list and say, okay, this is our list. This is what we need to be doing. Well, unfortunately, there have been a lot of different ways of handling these lists, and it tends to create more confusion than anything else. The problem is that most of the time, people end up with several gifts when they take these tests, and then they don't really know what to do with these gifts. The gift they end up with is probably not the gift that they really wanted. So sometimes they'll get discouraged and say, you know what? That's not really the gift I want. That's not really the area I want to serve, so maybe I just shouldn't serve. Sometimes these little tests, they tend to cause more harm than good. That's why I believe that a whole approach to spiritual gifts probably needs to be tweaked a little bit and figure out a different way to approach this. Instead of trying to get some list to tell us what we need to do, maybe we should be serving where we are passionate, and then we can see where the Lord has gifted us. That if we love singing and the Lord has gifted us with a good singing voice, there we go. We have a gift. If we love being able to care for others, and we tend to see that we are compassionate, maybe we have a gift of compassion. These gifts naturally show up. We don't need a test in order to try to figure out, okay, this is exactly where I'm gifted, therefore I need to go find this specific job. No. Find the area where you're passionate. The Lord supplies gifts to help you carry out service for Him. God does give gifts for serving in the church. We are all gifted. We should all work towards finding the right area of the church where we can use our gifts to serve the Lord. Yes, the Bible does talk about these gifts, and we can see examples of these gifts being used in the Old and New Testament. These gifts are examples of how God equips us, but they're not intended to be used as part of a job description. Instead of trying to find out the top three gifts from a combined list created using these three popular passages, we should focus on our passion, move towards that area of service, and then see where God has given us these gifts. Because God has given us passion, He also gave us gifts. And they meet together and they work together. You see, they, in one of the classes that I've taught before, there's these three bubbles that I like to have. And it's called passion, it's called church need, and it's called giftedness. And what you do is you take those three areas and you pull them together, and where they intersect, that's your, what I call the sweet spot of serving. So what you do is you figure out what you're passionate about, you figure out where your giftedness is and what you're good at, and you also figure out what the church needs. So then you take all those three and you put them together, and that's where you serve. Because not everybody is cut out to sing a song. Lord, please don't sing if you can't sing. But anyway, not everybody's cut out to preach a sermon. Not everybody's cut out to teach a Sunday school lesson. But there are some people who love to cut grass. There are some people who love to clean. There are some people who love to prepare communion, things like that. There are people who love to call and check on others. There are people who love to visit. There are people who love to be alongside somebody if they're going to a hospital for something. There's all kinds of different things that go on in life. And where you are passionate, that's where you should be serving. And that's where God can gift you. So when it comes to leadership, it's not about just finding a certain position or trying to sign up and meet a certain job description. No, leadership's not really about like that. Biblical leadership is about leading where you're passionate, leading where you're gifted, and helping other people grow. Leadership is moving somebody closer to the Lord. That's really what it is. You can do that whether you are a paid minister or if you're simply just a church member who loves helping people. It doesn't matter where you are in life, you are a leader. If you can move somebody closer to the Lord, you are leading. And that's what we need to remember. Because the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. These are not gifts to call attention to our own abilities. They're not to build us up. In fact, if we try to do that, we'll probably fail miserably. Because that's not what the purpose is. The purpose is to build up the body. Gifts make us complete in Christ. Take a look again, verses 11 through 14. Let's drive this home. Verse 11 through 14. I want to make sure we get this, make sure we understand this. Verse 11, it says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Do we have craftiness and deceitful schemes today? I'm sure we do. We are at a time in the world where leadership is needed so badly. There is a vacuum of good biblical leadership. We need it. We need to make sure that we're building up, that we use our gifts, our passions for bringing people closer to Christ. Now let's take a look at that verse 11 real quick. He talks about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Now there are several different ways to approach this verse. And I'm not sure which way is the most correct, but I do know that they can be used in different ways. Now, one approach, which is kind of a traditional approach, is where you talk about the apostles and prophets. The prophets were in the Old Testament. The apostles were the New Testament. And we're talking about the Bible, the writings. And, of course, those two positions have now been fulfilled. We now have the Bible, the complete revelation of God. We don't really need those anymore. So, therefore, we have evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Evangelist is usually what you call the preacher or the revival person. And then you have shepherds, which would be elders. And then you have teachers, of course. That's one way to approach this. And that's a good way to look at it, too. There's also another way that these all could be describing different types of leaders. What kind of leader are you? Are you an apostle type? Are you a prophet type? Are you an evangelist type? Or are you a shepherd type or a teacher type? Because every leader is different. Everyone's unique. So when you're trying to figure out how best to lead, figure out what kind of leader you are. Now, when I say the word apostles, right in this case, I'm not talking about the big A apostle, the original 12 that built the church. I'm talking about the word apostle, which means a pioneer, something who was sent, something who was building something. Today, we would call that a church planter, a church planting mentality. Do you think they might have needed some church planters back then? Yeah, I think they did. These are the ones who will go out and build a church in order to help people get to know Jesus. Do we need that mentality? Yes, that is a mentality of a leader, a church planting type of mentality. Then you have a prophet. A prophet is one who explains something, right? We talk about ones who tell the future. Well, that's part of it, maybe. But there's also the part where the prophet explains what happened, that this is going on because this is what was happening. So in that case, somebody who could read the scriptures, who could look at what's going on in the world, can make the connections and say, this is what's happening here, and this is what's going to continue to happen if we don't change. That would be a prophet mentality. Someone who can explain things that are happening. And then the evangelist, of course, would be ones who would be reaching out to those who don't know Christ in order to spread the good news, to preach the gospel. That's why evangelist is usually a term that we attach to preachers, because a lot of times preachers are preaching to those who are lost, so they would be an evangelist. Well, then you also have shepherds, which would be an elder who would be helping care for the flock and helping protect the flock and keeping people close to Jesus, make sure they're growing in the way they should. And then, of course, teacher would be someone who can explain the scriptures. All of these different types of leaders are needed in the church, and they don't always show up in an official position. A lot of times they're in just church members. Because we have to remember that the preaching position as a located ministry wasn't really there at the beginning, because everybody was working at preaching the gospel. Everybody was working together. Now, if I was to pinpoint which one of these I would be, I would probably say I would be closer to a teacher than I would be an evangelist, because I'm actually helping those who are already in Christ to grow up in Christ. I'd probably say shepherding would be something I could be good at. So, you know, there's a couple of areas in there. I would probably not make a good apostle, because I'm not really much of a church planner. You know, that's just not me. I like established groups where I can help them continue to grow. So every area is different. So that's kind of how I approach that right there. I kind of look at that and see that there are different types of leaders out there. And we can look at that and figure out, okay, what type of leader are we? And like I said, it doesn't have to be an official position in the church. It doesn't have to be the preacher or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or something like that. Everybody is a leader. Whoever you're influencing, what type of leader are you? And how are you influencing this person? Bringing them closer to Christ. Well, let's continue on here with Ephesians 4 and move on to 15 and 16 as we start to learn how we're supposed to lead. You know, what type of leader are we? Well, now let's figure out how we are to be leading. Verse 15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint that which it is equipped, which when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." God continues to lead the leaders. At least that's the way it should be. We should be following God every step of the way. If we're not leading with God leading us, we're kind of wasting our time. We need to understand that. We need to speak the truth in love. This goes back to a popular saying. I know I've shared it before. The Restoration Movement saying, "In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, love." We can have unity in our diversity, but our unity must be based on the truth. If we do not have a foundation of truth for our unity, we are doing nothing more than tolerating each other, and that is counterproductive. Unity without a foundation is tolerance, and tolerance is what tears down the church. Tolerance says that we can all live together in harmony without changing our lives. Unity says we must change our lives so we can live together in Christ. Unity and truth are two sides of the same coin. And that is what we must maintain in order to be a healthy church. How do we maintain unity and truth? We must learn how to speak the truth in love. We need to be motivated by love so we can reach those who disagree with us. Whether they are right or wrong, they will not talk to us if we approach them with a spirit of arrogance and contempt towards what they believe. By speaking the truth in love, we can open the doors for discussions that can bring us together in Christ. And when we come together in Christ, we can grow up and become complete as His church. Speaking the truth in love will help us stay connected with the body. Listen to Paul's words in Romans 12, 3 through 5. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not to think more of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not have all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I love verse 3 because it is a reminder that we are not as good as we think we are. There is always room for improvement. We should keep in mind as we serve the Lord that we can do better. That also means we're not going to be good at everything that we try to do. Sometimes we might need to back up and let somebody else do it. That's why we need to make sure we allow room for changing our minds. If we try to serve in an area of the church and later find out that we're not really that good at it, we should be okay to stop serving in that area and try something else instead. Because a volunteer that is serving in an area that they're not as good at, they're not going to be as passionate about it. Maybe we should let somebody else try that area and let's find somewhere else to serve. Don't develop the attitude that you have to do something you're not good at just because it needs to be done, because you're going to end up regretting the church and it'll cause you to quit. So find an area where you really are good and can excel. It's much better to change your position than remain trapped in an area where you're not gifted. Find what you love. Then find what you're good at, and you'll see the area in the church where you can serve with excellence. And you'll see that what you love and what you're good at are very similar. The best way for us to stay together as a body of Christ is to remember that Jesus is in charge. I cannot state this enough. We have to remember that Jesus is in charge. We begin with God leading the way. We must continue with God leading the way. We are the body, but we are controlled by the head, which is Jesus. And the church that can keep that critical truth in mind is a church that will glorify God. That's the church I want us to be. God is our leader. Under his leadership, we have the responsibility to lead others. And that should be our goal.